Hello and welcome to your weekly podcast here on Four Lads Had a Dream. My name's Andrew and I'm joined tonight by two of my very favourite podders. First of all, Shona, how you doing?
Good, yeah. Went to the Player of the Year Awards last night, so feeling a little bit fragile, but I'll pull through.
Look, I mean, Shona, that kind of close experience with Jack Butland will do that to anyone. So, you know, I'm not surprised, really. But it's good to have you with us, nonetheless. So, yeah. And can't possibly forget Kimmy as well. How you doing, man?
I'm very good, Andrew. While Shona was at the night last night, I was playing Grand Theft Auto because I wasn't invited, mate.
Well, you know Stevie's got his favourites. I noticed ticket was also suspiciously missing. So I don't know what to tell you about that, but... Listen, we are in the happy position where we're talking about a win in the league for the first time in a while. But before we get onto that, first of all, I just wanted to have a quick catch up with Shona. If you've been keeping an eye on our YouTube channel, you'll have seen that both Shona and Stevie were at the Women's Scottish Cup semi-final, where they got a very welcome 2-0 win over Hearts, set themselves up with a final against Hearts. I think this bank holiday Monday coming. So, Shona. Give us a little chat about that and let us know how you got on with it.
Yeah, well, obviously Rangers managed to get a 2-0 win over Celtic, so it was quite nice to see. I think the past few games where Celtic have obviously scored first, so it was quite nice to see us take the lead and dominate the game. And it was two really good goals by Cornet and Howitt. Obviously the header from Cornet, and then I don't know if you guys saw, but that lob over the goalkeeper from Howitt, and we had Cornet with the header. So no, look, it was a really, really good game. I think overall Rangers deserved the win in the end. I think Joe Potter got our tactics spot on. I think me and Stevie discussed at the start of the game that Rio Hardy, our top goal scorer, was sitting on the bench and we were thinking, what's going on here? But I think what Joe Potter did was he obviously looked at the previous game, saw that the goals were coming down the right-hand side of the pitch. So she just kind of nullified that within the first half. And I think she got her tactics spot on and then to bring those two players on later on in the game. But for me, it was the midfield of Liv McLaughlin and Chelsea Cornet that really dominated that game against Celtic. I think that's where Celtic have been really, really strong in the past few games against us. So, no, congratulations to the girls. Absolute massive achievement. And yeah, really looking forward to the final against Hearts.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's good. I mean, it's both sides of the football club at the moment are still online for trebles each. So the women, I think, possibly a more realistic shot at it. But, you know, we'll see how we go. I think it's still both within each team's control to go on and do that. So could very well be quite a magical season for both sides. So it's all very exciting and good. Let's get on and chat about Rangers men then, Kenny. St Mirren, I think, again, another away game at ground where we've never, I think, particularly seen a lot of free-flowing, exciting football. Rangers did get the result 2-1, which was good to see. However, St Mirren scored two of the goals in it, so not exactly a ringing endorsement of us. But we also saw Cyril Dessers go on and get his 20th goal of the season to win us the game. So I'll just quickly run through the team because there's a couple of talking points just based on that. Butland, as ever, present in goals. Tav, Balogun, Suter and Barisic in the defence. Lundstrom and Diamande in the central midfield with Cantwell, Sterling and Silva in front of them. And then Dessers up top. Kenny, I mean, I don't want to go through the entire game because it was painful enough to relive it just watching it live. What was your kind of overall take, I mean, in terms of the performance that we saw from the guys in that particular game?
An ugly win. I think that's what we had put it. Look, it was turgid. It was not a pleasant watch. I didn't think we had any real control of the game at all, apart from a period probably just before we scored the second goal. And towards the end, actually, I thought, you know, apart from the last 5 minutes, I thought we were actually in control when we were 2-1 up. But for perhaps 70 minutes of that game, I didn't think we were in control of it. It was far too open. We're far too easy to play against. If you wanted me to be brutally honest about it, I would suggest that I thought St Mirren worked harder than us. That was a concern. We've got a league title at stake here. I expect our players to be much more up for it than they're appearing to be at the minute. I don't know if it's, you know, we talked before we came on air that, you know, that's the last four league games, four times in a row, we've nearly lost a goal or have lost a goal in the first seconds of the game, but inside of the first minute. And I don't know if the tone has been set by that. I don't know if it's just causing that lack of confidence from the get go, if you like. I don't know. I'm no psychologist, so I don't know what it is. But at the same time, look, a win's a win. It's all you can do at this time of the season. And man, Dessers came up trumps yet again. He got the winner for us. Fantastic cross for Tavernier, to be fair to him. Puts it on a plate for him. But yeah, thank goodness for the St Mirren goalkeeper. That's all I'll say.
True. I mean, I don't want to take anything away from Dessers because I think it was a good goal to get, especially in that situation where it is under pressure. But as you said, we had that perfect cross in from Tav to set it up. But then we also had, him giving away an opportunity to St Mirren in that first 60 seconds. So, listen, it's something we've talked about before. I don't want to harp on about it unnecessarily, but I kind of agree with Kenny. You don't need to be a psychologist to think that that kind of thing is going to have an impact on your psychological makeup. You know, if you're already under pressure in the first moments of a game, it does inevitably set a tone for how you guys are kind of setting up. And it was disappointing to see us get ahead, whether by fortune or not, through the own goal, and then within 5 minutes we've conceded it and put us right back to square zero again. So it's frustrating to see that, especially, Kenny, as you say, when we're in the hunt for a title race. But Shona, let's talk about the main man then, the Nigerian nightmare, Cyril Dessers. He continues to, you know, prove almost everyone apart from you wrong. So it must be quite heartening from your perspective to see him continue to just plug away and do his thing.
Well, guys, I told you all this at the very start of the season when Clement came in. Everyone had their doubts about Cyril Dessers. Look, he never came in to be our number one striker. We all know that. But every single Rangers fan at the very start of this season says we want somebody that can score 20 plus goals in a league campaign. And so far he has done that. And if you look at, I think I wrote down here, obviously just an overview of how important he has been in his contribution so far. And I said, look, he got the winner against St Mirren in the previous game. He got the winner against St Mirren again yesterday. I said he obviously did well against Betis, where he obviously got the goal and assist to get us the 3 points. You look at Servette game where we got into the qualifying round and he obviously got the goal, the winning goal there. And then you talk about PSV where he got both assists in that game. So his overall contributions as well. Look at a Motherwell game. He was the 1-0. He was the one that got the winner and got us 3 points from there. So if you look at overall, I think St Johnston, another one where he got in a goal and assist to get the 3 points. You've got Ross County where Dessers got the 2 goals. That's another 3 points. He obviously had a contribution in the Celtic game. We obviously got an assist. Yeah, he hasn't scored in the Celtic game. And I think that's probably one thing that I think the Rangers fans are obviously wanting to do is score in the big games. And that's probably the one thing that he's lacking is not scoring in an Old Firm game. And I think once he does that, I think most people will get off his back. And then you look at, obviously, the Hearts game in the Cup semi-final. He scored the only 2 goals. He scored the brace to get us into the final. So, look, I think a lot of people just need to look at what he's done for us so far. Yeah, he is frustrating at times. I've always said that. He isn't his clinical striker that you're going to have. He's going to have his misses in the game. But I think you've got to give him credit where credit's due. And I think, like I said, it's exactly the same with Jack Butland yesterday, the amount of saves that Jack Butland made. So we could have been 3 or 4 nil down in the first opening minutes if it wasn't for Jack Butland. And obviously that save at the very end was Gorham-esque. But for me, I think we just need to give some of the players that have obviously contributed so far this season and give them a bit more credit. I think Dessert has only scored 2 goals before Clement came in. I wonder how many goals he would have scored if obviously Clement had been in here from the start of the season. I still think that if Clement had been in here from the start of the season, he'd be on 25, 30 plus goals for the season. That's the way I'm looking at it now. I don't know about what Rangers fans want to put in the comments this week, but I think I've made a pretty good case for my boy Cyril Dessers, and I think yesterday, like Kenny will probably go into in a minute, about his press conference, it just shows you that the boy, even though he does miss those chances, he'll never give up. He just never gives up, and it doesn't seem to faze him either. And I think he's got, for all the strikers that are in the league at the moment, he's got the best minutes per goal ratio in the league as well. So, look, for me, he's not going to be your number one. I do think that Rangers in the summer, I think there's obviously been links to other players, other strikers. We definitely need to bring in another striker. There's absolutely no shadow of doubt about it. It's good to see that Danilo is back on the grass doing as well. So I would imagine he would be probably fit in the next couple of weeks if he can get into that training. So, look, I think Dessers is always going to be a scapegoat because he's the only one that we've got at the moment creating goals and scoring goals. I think what you need to look at is look at the other guys that you've got round about him and say to them, you guys need to step up because he's the only one that's there that's stepping up at this moment in time. And yet he's still getting criticism for it.
It was something we touched on last week that, you know, Dessers has been consistent in that front line. And two guys who are generally playing beside him are chopping and changing every week. We had Silva coming in again, who I thought was particularly ineffective this past game. I think Sterling is there kind of, you know, more for a tactical reason as opposed to his effectiveness as a winger. And we kind of saw that with his output. And then he eventually got switched to left back when Borna decided to make his way off. So it's tough. The fact is he's had a tough road to hoe because Rangers fans are not exactly a forgiving fan base, even at the very best of times. And this is not the very best of times in terms of how we've been performing, I think. We were talking before we came on air about if you looked at our season on paper, you know, 3 points behind in the title race with four games to go. We've won a cup already. We're into the final of the other one. That looks quite good, absent of all context around it, right? Obviously, we prefer to be top of the league, cruising with 10 points clear or something like that. But we are where we are. It's still a sight better on a lot of the previous seasons, you know, at least in recent history. So,
I think as well, what you've got to obviously as well, I think the fans have got to look at, where would we be without Jack Butland and Dessers this season?
Yeah.
That's a really good question.
Well, funny enough, I was going to say that about Jack Butland. I actually think, I was trying to tot it up in my head earlier on. I reckon he's saved us about 15 points this season. I think easily yesterday, we're losing that game yesterday if it's not for the fact that Butland's there. Look, yeah, there's a couple of saves that, you know, you would expect your keeper to make, but there's two or three saves in there that are just absolutely out of this world. They really are. I mean, that one at the end of the first half.
Simoon should have had a goal, which Butland saves going the wrong direction with a hand out there. So
ridiculous save. That is Gorham-esque, that one. That is just outrageous. But look, we are in a situation here where we've got everything to play for, and getting those 3 points yesterday could be massive for us. We weren't good. Let's not kid ourselves on. We didn't play well, but it doesn't matter at this time of the season, Andrew. It is about getting the 3 points. It's about nothing else now. So yeah, we move on, but we've got to be better. We have to have better performances. I agree with Shona, you know, the people round about him. We need more from Silva. I don't think we're going to get that. McCausland is a good young player, but we're not getting any particular output from him. Sterling's not that type of player. Matondo, you know, is hot and cold. Yep. You know, Scott Wright's out the picture. Sima and Cortez both injured. We are really struggling up front. I said this on here a couple of weeks ago. That's where the issues, you know, really are lying. I know we're defensively we look frail, but up front, you can't expect one guy to do it all. Yep. And at this minute in time, with all respect to the likes of Silva, he's really disappointed me in the last few weeks. He's just not performed at all to any level. Actually, he's been really pretty grim. So look, just get on to the next game and get your heads down and get focused, you know, and try and get an early goal and settle your nerves, because we do look a nervous team at the minute. I don't know if you guys agree, but I think we look nervy. The first minute of every league game in the last month, it's just kind of shown you that as well. We do look a nervous outfit at the minute, and we need to try and sort that out as best we can. And I noticed that Philip Clement's comments after the game yesterday, but he's almost now got the kid gloves on, hasn't he, with his squad. I think he's now began to realise, you know, when we've all been sitting saying all season about the mentality, and he's been totally saying, no, that's, I don't see that in this one. I think he's seen it now. There's a frailty about them that, listen, fair play to that man for getting them into this position, full stop. He has done tremendously well, Clement, to get them here. So, yeah.
I think as well, just to touch on it, I think what's quite concerning for me at the moment is looking at that bench and saying to yourself, who's going to come off that bench and make a difference? And you're talking, the only person that's on that bench that could possibly make a difference is Kima Roof, who, no offence, has been non-existent for the rest of the season. So if you're struggling to score goals in a game, you're asking for Kima Roof to come on and make a difference. That's the rest of the guys are totally off form. You've got Lawrence, who's gone off like a cliff. You've got Dill there. He's not good enough for me anyway. I don't think he's good enough for Rangers. He's not, and then who else have you got on there? You've got Ross McCausland. Ross McCausland's a great wee youngster, but he's not going to come on and score you a goal and create an assist.
And by the same token, it's not fair to ask him to do that as well. Raskin, as you say as well, Kenny, I think is a perfectly solid player. I think he has played well on occasion, but he's not a game changer. He's not someone who's going to pop up and get a goal for you when you need it. To be honest, I think it's more likely we see Danilo taking the pitch before we see Kamaru taking the pitch again. But we are where we are. Listen, we're only keeping it short tonight because, to be honest, there's not a great deal of action from the St Mirren game that I want to renew in detail or review in detail, because it's St Mirren chances that, I mean, in fairness, Jack Butland is doing a superheroic amount of work to keep us in the game. But listen, we are where we are. We know we're going to have Killy up ahead against us on Sunday. Celtic will play before us, so, you know, keep an eye on their game with interest. But as you've said, Kenny, this is still very much within our hands. You know, we can keep on plugging away, we can keep winning 5 more games, and we could have a treble in our pockets. So, you know, it's all still there to play for. And it's the same on the women's side as well, Shona. So, you know, only a few more games left, and, you know, all the trophies are there to be won. Kenny, I understand you are going to be having a little chat with our esteemed colleague, Bobby, this Thursday. I think, touch on the Killy game, but I suspect there'll be some other topics of conversation there as well.
Yeah, I've no idea. He's not told me a word yet, so I'm under pressure because Shona did well last week, so we'll see how we do. We've got to mention that ridiculous booking for Jack Butler. Yes. We have to mention that.
Yeah.
You know, I was my business is in Paisley, so I was talking to a St Mirren fan today, and he made a brilliant point to me. He said that, now, whether he thought it was a red card or not, I don't quite know, right? So I'm not going to put words in the guy's mouth, but he made a wonderful point. He said, if Walsh think that's a foul, he's got to send him off. And I was like, that's actually true. He says, the only thing it isn't is a yellow card.
Yeah.
He said, because if he comes out and he comes in high like that, he says, actually, look at the
if it's deliberate,
being set at the minute, you're getting sent off for that.
Last
he
man.
Said, it's been, uh-huh. He says, so if he thinks that's a foul, he should be sending him off. And you're like, actually hadn't really thought about that. And it's clearly not a foul.
Exactly.
It's
right.
Clearly not. But the point being that he does give it as a foul. It's bamboozling. All you're looking for is a little bit of consistency, a little bit of common sense, a little bit of applying the rules properly. Now, you know yourself, guys, we're kind of getting fed up talking about referees on a weekly basis on here.
Yeah.
But that is utterly bizarre. It's in the realms of surreal. Look, what have they done? You can see it in, you can even see it in the St Mirren players' reaction. They were like, wow, okay, we'll take it. You know,
I mean, you see the reaction of Butland, though. I mean, he was apoplectic when he saw that he was getting the yellow card. I think there was confusion initially because there was a yellow card brandished. I don't know if the Rangers players or indeed the St Mirren players thought that initially it was their man getting booked for going down too easily or something like that. I don't think I think he comes together. I think he's entitled to go down. The bizarre thing, as you say, Kenny, is the decision to book him. So,
I don't think the St Mirren guy player does anything wrong.
No.
He's going for a ball. It's a ball that he's always second best, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of getting to. But at least he shows the commitment to go and get there.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
by the time, well, put it this way, Butland clears the ball and the boy's 4 yards away and keeps careering into him. It's him that hits Butland, not the other way about. So you're looking at it and you're thinking, well, if you're going to apply the rules, apply the rules. And then send him off, and then Yuval looks at it and tells him he's an idiot, and then we're all done with it. Do you know what I mean?
There's no guarantee that VAR would do that, being run by the current officials that are looking at it.
They would, though. You would have to look at that and say, that's clearly not a foul. The guy's kicked the ball, and the ball's 40 yards up the pitch before the St Mirren player runs in and careers in. It's incredible. Sorry, I just had to mention it.
No, I think it's right that we do bring it up, even if it is to say it was a complete nonsense. But yeah, it's worthwhile because, as ever, it's not the first time it's happened. So, you know, I think one of the very first video pods that we did was talking about the fact that the head of referees has stepped down, left, quit, something.
Well, I can tell you that he was made to quit.
Sure, it's a conversation that happens first, right, Kenny?
Yep.
Yeah. Listen, folks, as ever, it's always a pleasure talking to you. We will, of course, be talking about the Killy game next Monday, or at least you guys will, because I'll be on my holidays. So, best of luck. I'll just be tuning in and hoping that it's good and then sitting back on my beach. So, I hope it's lovely.
That's fine, Andrew.
I mean, you know me, Kenny. I barely do anything for this podcast anyway, so... look, folks, it's been a pleasure. I know that we will have both Bobby's Bits Bits and Bobs happening on Thursday with yourself, Kenny. Shona, do you know if you and Stevie will be vlogging from the game?
Yes, we'll be vlogging the men's game and we'll be vlogging at the women's game. So, yep, please tune in. And as I says, get your comments in for Pie of the Month. And obviously, if you like the vlog as well, just honestly put in any comments. Like if you want to have a go at me and Stevie or if you want to give your opinion, you're more than welcome, especially on this pod that we're talking just now. I'm sure I'm going to get a little bit of criticism about Dessers, as I always do. But I'll see you all guys in May when he scored over 20 goals per season. But I think we've got quite a good record against Kilmarnock. So the problem is, well, I think in the last, was it two games against Kilmarnock, we have conceded a goal. So I'm looking for a bit more of a better start to what we've had in previous games and hopefully a clean sheet. But guys, thanks very much for tonight. It's been an absolute pleasure, never a chore. And our part-time Andrew, we'll see you next week or the week after.
Indeed you will. Thank you, Shona. Kenny, thanks to you as well, mate. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you too, Andrew. All I'd say is that, it is all there for this team. It should be more, and we should feel more excited than we are. I would like to see a little bit more oomph and verve from that team. Get out there and go and attack from the start next on Sunday. Get at them, get a bit of confidence, get the first goal. And we are right there with three games to go if we can do that. So, it's exciting times, and it's been a good show. I've enjoyed it, guys.
Well, I mean, as ever, we'd much rather be in a title fight than not, so especially at this stage of the season. So hopefully, fingers crossed, the players can buy into a bit of that belief and let the good times keep on rolling and not ruin my holiday as well. That'd be lovely. All right, folks, it's been a pleasure. To everyone listening, watching at home as well, thank you for joining us. Until we talk to you again, bye for now. Four Lads Bite Size Podcast is proud to be sponsored by Rhino Express and Clyde View Joinery, certified fire door installer and maintainer. Also in association with Rangers Pools, Zenith Coins and Alexander Campbell Interiors. Please share and follow the pod to help us grow. We hope you enjoyed the show.